Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Late Show with Francie Weatherman.
Up this morning, looking for my shoes. Look behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
Because my buttons were acting weird. Okay. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode. Now that I know that I am off mute, I did it correctly. Yay. 2 points. Woohoo. This is going to be a great show. And I hope Aaron doesn't run off because this is like a once. We've never done a show like this.
Nope. There's the first time for everything.
And, yep. And I'm actually really excited about this. We have got Aaron D. Johnston. See, finally an easy name. Finally. And he is with Beard Team USA, a very, very popular organization. We're going to talk to him about beards and other things because it's going to get a little hairy in here. And we're going to find out why Tom and William does not have any facial hair. That's right, Aaron. They are cleaner than a baby's butt. Softer than a baby's butt.
I wouldn't go that far.
We're going to find out.
I got the 4 o'clock stubble.
Yeah, Aaron's got you beat. So we're going to find out at the end of the show if Aaron can talk William and Tom into growing some whiskers. All right, so this is gonna be a great show. All right, a couple of show announcements. September the 5th, Raina Gillette, a.k.a. Miss Misery, now Hall of Famer. Woohoo!
Cool.
That is going to be awesome. Sweet little lady, too. She's going to kill me. I called her a sweet little lady. Also, Scott Schiaffo from Clerks 1, 2, and 3. He is the chewing guy. He loves gum. All right, and Tom and William, I wanted to surprise you guys with this one because he has been asked by popular demand to come back on the show, including from the two of you. Are you ready?
Yep,
I'm ready.
Family Man, Duckman will be coming back on September the 12th.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. All right, and then on September the 15th, Santa Claus himself will be here, actor Sal Lizard. Yay!
Cool.
We love Sal. We love Sal. And then on the 19th of September, we have got Jason Gaylor, very talented
All right.
author. Yeah.
Very talented.
And then on the 26th, it looks like we are going to get Fred Weehee. So those are upcoming shows. Whew. I don't think we've ever scheduled that much in advance. But I'm really excited about tonight because Aaron's a nice guy. And I've watched his podcast also. We'll be talking about that. It's called, they talk about beards, talking beards. So we'll be discussing some of that. But first of all, we got to hear from our sponsor, Nicholas Grabowski with Black Bed Sheet Books.
Oh, yeah, that must be me. A lot going on. there's a lot going on here at Black Bedsheet Books. We're just starting to get ready for Halloween. I'm actually out in the backyard right now with my cell phone, and I'm surveying the place. I did some yard work yesterday. I'm renovating the backyard and the front yard, and this year we're going to top what we've had in prior years, which was around about 900 trick-or-treaters. And we're going to get, again, we're going to get like newscasters and people. We had Good Day Sacramento that one year, which was awesome. And, I'm just starting to get ready. Got to get ready right before September hits. So we won't be so bogged down at the last minute, like kind of like last year was. Only last year, because of COVID, we had to not open up the backyard, but keep everything out in front. But everything was still fantastic when we had tons of people. And it's the right time of year to wear masks anyway. So this year we're opening up the backyard. We're going to have vendors. We're going to have author appearances, signing books. And as usual, everything is we're giving out candy as usual, but we also give out free books. Everything's always free on Halloween. So anyway, and we have a lot of upcoming books and books that came out, books that are coming out, including what just came out this weekend is Raina Young's 11th in her Monsters series. And this one is The Werewolf of Wolf Lake. Just came out yesterday, brand spanking new. I can't believe I've published 12 books of Raina Young, who is also known as Miss Misery, the great Northern California horror host. Also, I'm very proud to announce that for the first time in our 13 years, we are publishing for classic literature. I never wanted to do that before because it was kind of the thing for other publishers to do, and everybody comes out. If you're a publisher, and one of the ones, I don't want to, like, you know, toot my own horn, but 13 years, we've got a great big reputation worldwide and stuff for still as small as we are. I've never really wanted to put out Frankenstein because if you look on Amazon, for instance, Frankenstein and Dracula, there's tons of them. But I want to focus on lesser known ones. And this week, we are coming out with our first title, which is Carmilla. I don't have my computer in front of me. I'm just getting used to it. John Sheridan. Canoe, I think. Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think I said that right. Yes. I got to get used to this. Yes, we're coming out with that this week. I'm just getting it all set up. I'm reading through it. I'm doing the whole interior tonight, actually, after the show. I'm going to be working on it more. Also, the next official book that we're coming out with is Carson Buckingham's latest novel, and it's Noble Rot. And that is going to be awesome. Also, in the near future, in September, Fred Weehy is coming out with another book with us, and so is Chuck W. Chapman, who Francie was just talking about. And he's going to be a guest again in a couple of weeks, and he's going to be talking about his new book also. So there's a lot going on here at Black Bedsheet Books, a lot of hoopla, a lot of stuff. We're going to be posting some things on YouTube. We're getting our YouTube. Actually, Francie, on her end, we're putting together a YouTube channel for Francie and Friends. And we're going to have all the past episodes, but it's going to be visual. So, you know, and also on my end, I'm digging up some stuff, creating some trailers and doing some things for Black Bedsheet Books on my end. So we're that and getting ready for Halloween. We are super busy.
Cool.
Awesome. I'm not going to say sauce. I hate it when people say awesome sauce. Awesome sauce.
Yep.
Also this week,
I'm going to be announcing new authors too. Finally going through my 2,500, it's 3,000 submissions by now. You get about 2,500 a year. It's really tough to go through every one of those.
Yeah.
Things are so So I'm going to be making some new announcements this week. Pay attention to our Facebook group page. We have a Facebook official page, but everybody loves our group page. It's more interactive. I have better luck with groups on Facebook than I do pages anyway. And as always, www.blackbedsheetbooks.com. If you want to find out stuff about things that are uniquely me, because Terry Horns is coming out with a book. I've published him a few times. He's a great author. He's coming out with a book that is based on one of my books that was published back in 1988 called The Ragman. That's coming out actually in September also. And as usual, if you want to buy copies of Halloween 4, I'll sign them for you. And just go to downwarden.com and pick up one. Also on eBay, Nicholas Grabowski. I think that's it, Francie. I think you can, I'm done hijacking your show.
Yeah, you can pick up Halloween 4 for about $20, right? Less than $20.
Yep.
Bucks. Sorry.
Yep, that's an awesome deal.
Hey, and I just wanted to say something. I'm looking at what's popular on the live episodes right now. We are number 2 in popularity. Woohoo!
Cool.
We're the number 2 most popular show on Blog Talk Radio right now. So big congratulations. Aaron, I'm looking forward to it. But, okay, Aaron, we're about to bring you on. He's being so patient. He's so quiet. All the other guests are like, my internet. He's so quiet. Okay. All right, and then one more announcement. William, you had a big weekend.
I did. So, well, I'm very, very happy to say that my 36th book is officially launching this week. So be ready for a very, very fun, dark fantasy horror called The Legend of Graham Hadeclare. It's going to be coming out officially on Friday. Through kmpentertainment.org.
Nice. And, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah,
and Tom,
it's a doozy.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Tom, anything going on with you?
Well, I've taken a brief writing hiatus, but I've come up with about 24 more ideas for, Wave's going to laugh at this, but I got enough ideas for 2 more In Rod We Trust books down the road. Believe it or not, I'm just sitting here thinking of ideas and taking a break, and then I will be at Flint Horror Con Group up in Flint October 30th. Then I'm November 4th or 5th. I think I'm at Mid-Michigan Paranormal. And so I got another one at near Thanksgiving convention up in near the Blue Water Bridge in Michigan. So I'm just kind of taking a little break, waiting for my daughter to get married in October, and then I'm going to be hitting writing again probably. If I don't drive myself nuts and have to do it sooner, you know.
I guess no book signings at the daughter's wedding.
No. I gotta behave.
Okay.
You know, keep it official. But you know, it's my wife even groaned when I said, "I think I got about 24 ideas for a couple more in Rodney Trust books." And I thought, well, you know, they just came to me. There were different ideas, like, you know, what kind of what if scenarios. So, you know, it's kind of. Yeah, I think I'll have to go with a couple more. I was only going to do a 5-book series, and it was like, originally it was a 7, then it was a 5, now it's back to a 7, I think. I think the ideas have merit, so we'll see.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah?
Who published in Rudd We Trust?
Black Bedsheet Books, of course.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah. That's the thing.
You know, yeah, it's... Yeah, Nicholas, so I got a few more ideas, so, you know, you can think of me. you know.
Just saying.
Tom's got another one this year, you know.
Still, oh, hey, by the way.
All right, are we ready? Are we ready for the man of the hour?
Yes, we are.
Yep. Well,
I need a drum roll. I need to get a drum roll on the switchboard. All right, here we go. From Beer Team USA, proud member, very active in the organization, loves the facial beard, loves the facial hair, but he does not like a whaler. We'll talk about that tonight. You'll see what we're talking about. See, I bet Tom, William,
yep.
You guys know what a whaler is?
A what?
A whaler? What is that, one of Bob Marley's bands?
Yeah.
Aaron, are you sure you're ready for this one? These guys know nothing. And I'm a woman, and I know more facial hair.
Oh, well, that doesn't matter. They're going to learn everything. So are we ready? Are we doing this?
We're live.
Yep.
We are. So I feel super left out. I've only, you know, written and, you know, published like 47 books. So, I mean, y'all are like way more advanced than me. All my books are about like cats and cats. I don't know, like y'all are like, I didn't know you were all like physicists and stuff. I feel kind of left out.
You know what? I do too.
Not to worry, you're in good company.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're like doctors, book writers, and I mean, this is wild. And so we're all gonna go over to Nick's backyard and go to this Halloween party, right?
Oh, yeah, you're definitely invited.
Don't try.
This stuff, you have, like, autograph signings and stuff at a Halloween party? Like, this is insane.
We do, and you know what? We get so many trick-or-treaters. There was one time we had to run to the store to go get more candy, and I had to tell all the kids, I'm like, look, we're out of candy right now, but candy's on the way. They're like, we don't care about the candy. We want the books. It's like, whoa.
So you know how you fix that problem of having so many trick-or-treaters? We learned a trick a few years ago. We just shut all of our lights off, and then you don't have that problem of having a bunch of trick-or-treaters. I mean, I didn't know that.
I think
any more candy. Super simple.
let's
right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always thinking. So what's going on, guys? So let's just start this off. What's the deal with the no facial hair? What's going on, Tom and William? Why no facial hair? What is your what's problem? Can you not do it?
Well, I have complaints because of raise, you know, like burns on their face, you know, and stuff like that, and it makes me itch. It breaks me out, and I itch a little bit. So
part of you got to kind of power through the pain, right? So, like, it's going to itch at first. and then you put some beard oil into it, and the itch goes away, and then you know, and then you magically look like a man. So it's, you should probably try it.
Yeah, but I might look more like a caveman, you know. That's
awesome.
My problem.
That man
yeah.
is
so,
the name.
You know, and you know, in my case, I kind of have it. I should keep it as part of my own little riding habit. So I'm clean shaven for a little while, and then once I decide to sit down and start binge riding, that's when I usually go overboard. So by the time I go in my office, I'll go and lock myself in there with all my stuff. And then by the time I'm finished with the manuscript and revising and editing and everything else to that effect, I step out and I look like Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Yeah, so what's the problem? Why don't you?
Well, the problem there is that I'm in the Fort Lauderdale area. So then the humidity hits when I step outside, and then it looks like I'm wearing an afro.
No, that's no excuse. That's no excuse. Aaron lives in South Carolina. Very humid there, too.
The humidity up here in Michigan has been pretty bad, too. So it's, I sweat more, and it's not a good,
I'm just hearing, really lame excuses. I think y'all are just scared to, have beards. I think that's it.
No, it just doesn't.
Well,
Guess who else here has facial hair?
Francie.
Francie.
Rosie O'Donnell.
At least I have a goatee. I haven't shaved it in 30 years.
So everybody knows that goatees are the most prestigious facial hairstyle anyone can ever have. So that's pretty smart of you.
Well, thank you.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah,
he accidentally messed up trimming his goatee one time, and I was at work, and I came home, and he was, cleanly shaven. I was like, who are you? What did you do with Nick?
So, how you fix the problem of having, trimming your goatee too far. You just don't trim your goatee. See, that's all it goes along with the light things don't come in my yard.
Yeah, but that particular time, though, I shaved off half my mustache accidentally, so I had to kind of just do the whole thing. But it grows back. That's the beauty of it.
It is. That's the beauty of facial hair. It grows back. It's like it grows on you.
It
grows.
Yeah,
it grows.
No pun
intended.
I guess if you want an honest answer, because it just seems like it's too much upkeep and I'm lazy. That's what it comes down to.
To be lazy.
Well, consider yourself lucky. In my case, for some reason, it takes a long time for everything to grow on me hair-wise. And when it does, it grows in odd places and in odd patches. So, at one point, when I was trying to grow my mustache, it decided to turn into a square patch. So I'm like, oh, no, this is not going to work because I live in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood. So now I'm not stepping outside with this.
Yeah.
That used to be a really popular style, years and years ago. You could bring it back, You can just, rename it, not giving it, its name that it has been given. But you bring it back. Go ahead and rock that square little mustache. People will love it.
All right. I'll take a crack at it. We'll see what happens.
Bad could ever happen. It'll be fine.
Post it on Facebook.
There we go.
See, now here it is. Aaron, if you need any advice about writing a book, you can ask any one of these guys, and if they have any questions about any advice about growing a beard, they can talk to you.
See?
What compelled you to grow the beard in the first place?
Huh?
Me?
What compelled you to grow the beard in the first place? Yeah.
So, the story with me and my growing my beard. From 2002 until 2010, in my line of work, I had to shave all the time to go into chemical plants or refineries doing, you know, welding inspection. In 2010, we moved to South Carolina, and I moved to new construction. So due to the fact that it's new construction, I could grow a beard. So I immediately quit shaving, and I grew a beard. So from, like, 2010 to 11, early 12, I just kept a normal beard. I'd grow it out a little bit, but I would trim it back and just keep a solid, normal beard. And then about 2012-ish, we watched a show called Whisker Wars that, Francie was a fan of. And we watched season one, and I was like, man, it just looks like so much fun to do this, because Whisker Wars is about beard color. And so I started growing it out a little bit, playing with my mustache and stuff. And then 2013 came around, season two came out, and I was hooked. I was like, I'm growing my beard out, and I'm going to do one of these beard competitions. So we Googled it, and I think it was May 2014. There was a competition in Charleston, South Carolina. And so we went ahead, booked our hotel and everything, and I quit trimming or doing anything. If we went to that beard competition, you know, here in Aiken, I would go to the grocery store and stuff, and people would be like, oh, man, you have the best beard I've ever seen. You know, I was thinking all along, you know, I got, like, this awesome beard. And so May, we went to that competition there in Charleston, and I did not have the most awesome beard anymore. That was very much a fake crowd, and it was huge shock, I guess, from big reality check, because, you know, going from the best beard at Kroger in Aiken, South Carolina, to, you know, just a beard at the Music Farm in Charleston, South Carolina, it was it was humbling. But that's how we got the phone. But I'm extremely concerned, and I'm not going to be a face in the crowd. So it took me to kind of hustle my craft, and we figured it out. In 2007, I'm a champion. So I think I
figured it out. Aaron, you're kind of breaking in and out every now and again.
Oh, my God.
But we were able to hear everything you said, but you are kind of breaking out, in and out, like, just a little bit.
Aaron, I got a fun question for you, because for myself, I happen to be a huge history buff, so I always incorporate history into my writing projects. So, with Halloween around the corner, any possibility of you dressing up as Blackbeard and maybe putting some sparklers in the beard?
Probably not. I'm not really going to do that, probably. I've dressed up as a pirate before for Halloween, but never, I don't know, a lot of people put stuff in their beard, but just me personally, I don't really like putting stuff in my beard, so I'm not going to, like, decorate it and stuff or anything like that, but, you know, I mean, I might put on a pirate costume if need be, so I guess it would be, like, Blackbeard-ish.
Okay, yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about Beer Team USA. What team are you? Whisker Wars. What team were you? Come on, let's do it.
Yeah, so I was on the winning team of Jack Passion on Woo-hoo! Watching Whisker Wars. Yeah. So if anybody's ever watched Whisker Wars, so the whole story with that is there was the quote unquote good guys. That was the Awesome Facial Hair Club / Beer Team USA. Then there was the bad guy that was Jack Passion, but he was also Beer Team USA. But then Awesome Facial Hair Club ended up branching off their own at the end, and it turned into a whole thing. But, yeah, Jack Passion was the quote-unquote bad guy. But I don't know. I like him, and he was my favorite.
I liked him, too. To me, I considered the Awesome Facial Hair Club the bad guys, because – I mean, come on, they set up a Twitter account to mock him. And whenever he won, you know, oh, I guess I didn't sleep with the right judges. He didn't sleep with. So what? Your guys didn't even play. Hey, come on. So yeah, they were just sore losers.
It's funny you bring up that because now I'm really good friends with the Austin Facial Hair Club, and I do mental meetings with them and stuff, and I talk to Brian Nelson on almost a daily basis. But when I first started hanging out with those guys and, you know, meet Brian and stuff like that, is like I just had like this weird feeling about them, and I didn't want to go to their competition because I was so like, as far as the show went, I was so wrapped up on thinking that they were like the bad guys. So I've even told Brian that. I'm like, you were the bad guy of that show to me. He was like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, I was definitely the good guy. I'm like, no. Like, Jack Passion was the good guy, I feel like. He was the star of the show, and y'all were just...
You guys were filling.
Y'all were just completely, yeah, y'all were just like the villains of the show. He's just... every time I messed up. But it's just so funny to me because now, like, Brian's my buddy, so.
And now,
yeah,
you know,
cool,
we got to do it. We got to get you both on at another date. We need to book both
yep.
of you.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, I don't think it'd be that hard.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking I would like to ask Austin, and you just answered the question. I thought, man, if I was to ask him any question, I would say, do you think that you are fairly justified on Whisker Wars? Like, did you feel like, because, you know, the way I looked at it, I was like, is that editing or are they really that bad sport?
Behind the scenes, at the end of the day, it was a lot of editing for that whole show. I don't think Jack Passion was that an asshole. Austin Facial Hair Club, really, they didn't do everything that the show kind of portrayed them to be. Like, the whole thing set up, just, you know, but it was a good show, and I think at the end of the day, them turning Jack Passion into the villain of the show and making him look like a complete jerk to most people, it ran him out of the beard community. And after, I think 2011, 12, he shaved and left the beard community, and he won't even come back. Like, I know Brian tried to reach out to him and Judge Austin for the World Beard Mustache Championships in 2017 when it was in the United States, and he said no. So, he was able to get a couple Whisker War guys to come judge, like Arnie Kane, Mike Honor and stuff, but he wasn't able to get Jack Passion. He just does not want to be involved in the beard at all.
Oh, wow. That's a shame.
Yeah.
It's a shame, but that happened. I mean, they turned him into the villain, and the internet turned against him. I mean, you can still even go back to like the Whisker Wars Facebook page and go and look at old posts and stuff. And just people are just bad, completely. People that have no idea who he is, you know, anything about him, but they're just every post is just completely bashing him. And obviously, there's more people that dislike him. So and. It just, it ran him out of the community, and it sucks because this community is amazing and done nothing but, you know, share positivity and change me and my wife's lives to absolutely the better. And I just hate that a little reality TV show that got so many people involved in bearding has, you know, turned him into a villain and internet warriors ran him out. It sucks.
Yeah, man, that is. I thought he was hilarious, especially with this. I'm a kamikaze pilot. Kamikaze pilots don't fight fair either. I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna kick their ass.
Yeah, dude.
He was just so funny with all of his quotes. I was like, man, Jack Passion needs to write another book. It's called The Jack Passion Quotes because he was
right,
just hilarious. Yeah, yeah, if anybody. Oh, you have the facial hair guide, hair facial guide.
Right. Yeah, so I think my wife bought it for me in like 2013, right before the whole, you know, doing bearding on whatever level I'm doing it now. And I read it, and I don't read books, and my wife was just absolutely dumbfounded by sitting there watching me read a book. She like took pictures of me and put it on Facebook, and my mom was freaking out. It was the whole thing because I don't know. I mean, I write books, obviously, like you guys. I'm just constantly writing books, but I just don't read them. So,
Wow. Okay.
You know, I'm actually the same way. I can't sit down. I can't sit down and relax and just look at words. I can't. I'm like, okay, I read this page. Okay, I got to go do something.
Yeah, it's just,
I'd rather
know,
do
like,
the dishes.
I've probably got some sort of, you know, dyslexia or something like that going on. It's probably not that, but like, so I'll read a book and then I'll know I read these three pages and then I'll realize that I wasn't paying attention to what I was reading. I was just like reading the words that go in one ear and out the other or whatever, and not have to go back and reread everything that I know I just read, but I have no idea what I read. I was just reading the words.
Oh, and then you're like, and then when you finally do pay attention, you're like, when the hell did I miss that? And you have to go back, and you're like, I'll find it tomorrow. I'll find it tomorrow.
You know, guys, that's why they call the bathroom the reading room. So, you know.
Yep.
That's where you sit and think and not be distracted.
Yep.
You know, that's where I do a lot of my reading.
Well, let's not forget the bestseller, Uncle Bob's Bathroom Reader.
Yeah.
It's all the big book of knowledge.
Wow. Oh, boy. No, I've never read on the toilet. Well, I read shampoo bottles on the toilet. I guess that counts.
You don't take your phone with you to the toilet?
No. In fact, I can't. Oh, man, when I find out that somebody's talking to me on the phone while using the bathroom, I hang up. When I find out they're in the bathroom on the toilet talking to me, I hang up. Just the fact that somebody's talking to me on the phone.
Well, no. I'm going to have to beg to differ on that one.
Have you talked to me on the toilet, William?
No, I still remember the night that you called me when I was stepping out of the shower, and you're like, hey, how are we doing? Listen, you want to get Tom on the phone? I want to talk about the show. I'm like, no, I want to get dressed.
Well, I guess coming out of the shower. Okay.
Yeah, I ain't talking to anybody on the phone with my dong hanging out.
Oh, come on. You do a pose like Superman.
So you guys aren't on the toilet right now doing the show?
We just have toilet humor.
No,
I'm
back to
the show. We were supposed to all sit on the toilets and poop and do the show. No, that was
misinterpreted. No, we don't do that.
Oh,
we talk shit. We don't take a shit.
Y'all talked about it, so I thought that's what we were supposed to be doing. So I've been in the bathroom this whole time just.
Oh,
well,
there we go.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear any farting in the background, so I guess we're all right.
Yeah, I've been trying to muffle it with a pillow. I was trying to be professional.
Okay.
Well,
there was actually one show that we did, and it's still a mystery. In fact, I got it on one of my bloopers, on the bloopers. There was actually a toilet flushing right in the middle of the show. And we have no idea who did it. We thought John Link did it. And John Link said, no. So I'm sitting on
like
my
Tom
chair.
Thing, really, to me. I think Tom would definitely be the toilet flusher.
I believe that to be true. I believe that to be true also.
Yep,
100%.
I get that vibe.
That wouldn't surprise me.
See? I nailed it. I can tell. With a name like Tom... I mean, you gotta flush toilets.
Yeah.
And not to mention it's Tom Sawyer. I mean, come on, the original prankster.
Tom's so funny. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I thought that only went for painting fences and fishing or something like that. You know.
Exactly.
And driving the boat. Something
tricking people into painting fences.
Yeah. Okay. Eric, you actually had what the hell was that?
I don't know.
You actually had a
bit. I see it.
Oh, Nick phone right there. I'm hearing myself echo.
What?
No. Aaron, you actually had a big weekend this weekend. You were at a beer competition.
So this weekend. Yeah, so this weekend, me and my wife, we traveled to Elizabethtown, Kentucky. We try to get a competition in every weekend. It's kind of hard, you know. But we did 2 weeks in a row. But this weekend, we went to Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and I put up a vending table for Honest Amish, and I sold beard oil and soap all weekends, and my wife, Natalie, was a judge or one of the judges for the competition. This was the Mad Viking Kentucky competition. It was the Bourbon Beers and Beard competition, I think. I think that was right. It's Triple B. I just ended up calling it on the show Tuesday night because I kept messing up the order of, you know, all the B's. But I'm pretty sure that seemed right. But, yeah, it was pretty good. It was a smaller turnout. It was a little bar, and I think this was their first competition they put on. But it was good. All the trophies were bourbon barrel lids. So first place was a full lid, and then second and third were actually just flat from a bourbon barrel. And then the judges got lids that were cut in half, and they had their names put on them and the event and all that stuff. And it was pretty cool. It was a very good time, and we had a good time. We're both from Kentucky originally, so it's always nice to go back up there any opportunity we have just to see friends and family and just be in Kentucky again. So we always try to hit up those competitions, no matter how small they are, just to try to go help out the old stomping grounds and spread the beard as much as we can.
Well, I mean, you definitely can't go wrong with that, that's for sure.
Nope.
Yeah, we like it up there, so we try to help out.
Excellent.
Yeah, I seen on your Facebook recently you just posted a photo of one of those barrel cookies. I was like, man, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, so that's what we try to do every time we come back from a competition. I forgot St. Louis now that I'm saying this, but every time we come back from a competition, I'll put our trophies or things we won or something and let everybody know from the competition that we're home safe and sound, and give a little shout out to the club or whatever, just to further promote it for next year or whatever we can do. And but yeah, the Bourbon Barrel is super cool, man. It was kind of funny because so each category got sponsored, and Talking Beards actually sponsored the goatee category, so they put the Talking Beards logo on the trophy, and then I won it. So that was pretty smart. So now, yeah, so now I got a sweet Bourbon Barrel trophy with a Talking Beards logo on it. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, let's talk about you do have a podcast show, which that's how we met. I was like, oh, Beard Team USA's life. Oh, I like these guys. Let me see what's going on. And then you and I, we got to chatting, and I was like, dude, you got to be on my show. And
I remember you saying, you're like, yeah, you're the better-looking one, so I would definitely want you on the show, and you're much more, you're much better well-spoken than that other guy. He was probably like, he probably doesn't even know what he's talking about, and he seems really confused. And I was like, yeah, I'm the better-looking and more smart person, and I read all the books, so I definitely should be on your show. And so here I am. But, yeah, so we do a show called Talking Beards. It's just that. We talk anything about bearding. We try to bring on every week someone that's doing a competition coming up and, you know, highlight that competition and ask them about judges and events and how to register and all that good stuff. And then anything, any little news tidbits or something, anything funny going on in the news about beards or anything like that. And then we kind of highlight, you know, what me and Scott are up to and just, I don't know, it's just, anything bearding, we end up on the show. Sometimes we get the mail, we'll bring up the mail, and just really, really focus on probably, I would say, 75% of our show is competition-related. So that's what we do. We do beer competitions, and we just try to give back to the community and make, you know, be the voice of the community as much as we can. So that's what we do. So we've been doing this show since, I think, like September 2018. That's when Talking Beards was born, and we did it every other week, and I was not doing any type of podcast or live shows or anything. It started out with me, Scott, and another guy named Chris Odom was doing a beard show on YouTube, and Scott was doing a podcast called The Beardcaster that had already been going for a couple years. And so both of those guys were already pretty, you know, had their crafts kind of ironed out a little bit. And I was completely green and knew nothing about it. I didn't talk very much. Like, I was just, I don't know why they invited me, but whatever, I was there. So I like social media, and I'm pretty good at it. And I think that was kind of my end for being part of the show. So I was a social media guy. And, yeah, we've been going for about 135, 136 live episodes now. We do it live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern. When we go live, we end up on, I want to say, 6 Facebook pages at the same time. So we're on the Talking Heads page. We're on my page, Scott's page, the Honest Amish page, and then the Beer Team USA page, because that's where you saw us. And then on my club page, the Holy City Beard and Mustache Society, we go live on that page. But then we also go live on the Talking Beards YouTube and the Talking Beards Twitch. And then we go live on TalkingBeards.com. And so this all happens at the exact same time. And we can get our chat picks up most of it. So we go live on on StreamYard is the program we use, and so that we can see the chat from pretty much everywhere except for TalkingBeards.com. It doesn't pick up that chat. But then we can bring on the little, if we like what someone said, we can click on it and it'll bring it up on our screen, which everybody can see, and then we can you know, poke fun at them or whatever. And
you're talking about Scott. That is Scott Sciorra. Did I pronounce that name right?
Scott Sciorra.
Sciorra. Dang, darn it. I am terrible with names. I suck at names.
You get a name for effort, though.
Yeah, his name's stupid anyway, so it's fine. No one cares.
I know he's asleep right now, so he's not listening. So since he's asleep, come on, tell us an embarrassing secret of him.
I think he wets the bed still. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, pretty sure he wets the bed. I don't think I'm supposed to tell anybody that, but you know, it's fine. You're just the number 2 show on Block Talk Radio. No one's really listening right now, right?
Yeah, no one's listening. Yeah, he's gonna kill you tomorrow. Ha ha.
Just for case purposes, better make sure you don't get it, Matt. Have to share a room.
Yeah. I can't share a room with him. He'll pee everywhere.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I've learned that. I don't like. He'll get up. He'll even sleepwalk a little bit, you know, and like pee in the suitcase. It's a mess. He you can't share a room with him.
I know what it is. You know, maybe he thinks he's Jack Nicholson and Walt when he was pissing on James Spader's shoes.
Yeah, I think that's about right. He's about the same age as Jack Nicholson, so that's probably about right.
There we go.
They're both like 65. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Aaron, this show is archived, so he'll listen to that in the morning.
Oh no, I don't think he knows how to use technology very well. He'll never
figure
it out.
So you're safe. No,
yeah,
one
like,
thing
he's
I
like, where's the 8-track? Is it on 8-track? I'm like, no, Scott, we don't do it on 8-track. He's like, oh, so it's on a record player. I'm like, no, it's actually on the internet, and he completely lost it. He had no idea what the internet was.
Well, I mean, you know, you can take advantage of that. You know, go get one of the old reel-to-reel films and be like, here we go. Here's the episode. You're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to tinker with it a little bit, but about 40 minutes in.
Yeah, he'll get it figured out. Oh, yeah, he's a master with reel-to-reels. He's got them all over the place, so. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll make sure that I bring over the reel-to-reel of the what they're calling already on the internet the greatest episode of Branson and Brand. I don't know if y'all do that. I've already been reading it all over the place.
No. And then let them know, too, that it's, you know, if you play the reel-to-reel backwards, there's a really great recipe for some gazpacho on there, too.
Yeah.
I really heard that that's, it's really awesome sauce.
Oh, it my is, God. Like, oh, my God.
That's a word we're supposed to use. Awesome sauce.
And the secret ingredient is love.
Right. Absolutely. Love and a nice hug.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I told you guys you're gonna love this guy.
Yeah.
It's like you talk to him like this is not the first time you guys. When I told Nick as soon as I got off the phone with you that night, I was like, oh my gosh, Nick, it's like we've talked on the phone at least 20 times already. He's very personable.
Oh,
so that's a good thing to have.
Oh, I try. You know, just casually having a conversation.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
Yeah, I need to ask you, like, one of the probably the most hard-hitting questions you're ever going to be asked in your entire life. Are you ready?
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Why have you never had a waffle from Waffle House? Everyone's dying to know.
I love waffles, but... I guess it's because I like to put ketchup and mustard on my shredded hash browns. I always put ketchup and mustard, and just the fact of eating the hash browns and then having a sweet waffle right there with it is kind of like, ugh.
No, it's amazing.
Oh, no.
Absolutely. Next time you go to
Waffle,
you get an all-star, and it's a little bit of everything. The waffle's on its own plate. It's not going to get any mustard ketchup on it. And you just devour it all together, and you'll thank me as soon as you eat.
Yeah, I mean, especially if the cook, you know, does the extra little splash around it with the cinnamon, then it's perfect.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. When I make pancakes, I have to put cinnamon in my pancakes now. I am so hooked on cinnamon pancakes now.
Cinnamon.
Francie, you're not the only one that has never had waffles at a Waffle House. I'm an egg person. To me, waffles are just
Tom,
hard pancakes.
Or William Blatt,
you know,
why would you
I'm not a big waffle fan.
This makes
wow.
sense.
Blasphemy for the two of you.
See? Yeah. The field trip, right? On the next episode, y'all need to be, you know, come back from your field trip and after you eat your waffles and you'll be like brand new people.
Yeah.
So you what?
We'll
do a Facebook Live.
There we go. We'll be on the next episode.
Of Talk Spirits. Y'all can be live from Waffle Houses eating waffles.
The only problem is they don't have a Waffle House here in California.
No.
Well,
then you gotta come eat.
Exactly.
Where do you think it is?
I traveled 3,000 miles to South Carolina to get my waffle from the waffle. Oh, man, I miss the Waffle House. That's just, and Rush is,
well,
oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's a staple. It really is.
It is, absolutely. Like, official meal of the South. Just anything.
Exactly.
And see, William, he's up there in Ohio.
No,
but
I'm
they
not.
Make the best.
Mm. He's in
no,
Michigan.
I mean Tom.
He's in Florida.
Tom, I
no,
mean
I'm
Tom.
In Michigan. Oh, there you go.
Oh,
Ohio,
Michigan.
Michigan.
I always thought you were in
Ohio.
Ohio's
beneath us.
Really
no, Michigan.
No,
I was in state. At least he has
I'm,
the best
I'm
feeling.
Yeah. I'm outside of Fort Lauderdale, so.
Yeah.
Well, see, there's a house in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, I'm about 15 minutes north of it.
See, so that's
yeah.
Waffle House country. Michigan,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think there's any Waffle Houses in Michigan.
Yeah, down here we have two of them in the Fort Lauderdale area, and then almost 30 of them up in Orlando. So,
yeah, there's
where I'm from.
Parking lot here.
Yeah,
there you go.
In South Carolina, it's like every exit. You know when you're driving down the freeway and you see the food sign? Every sign, Waffle House, Waffle House, Waffle House. On Two Notch Road, there was two Waffle Houses within a couple of blocks of each other. I mean, they're everywhere.
Well, if they're a Waffle House, why do they sell eggs?
Oh, they sell eggs.
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, why? They're a Waffle House. They sell waffles. You know, KFC sells chicken, right? You know, they don't sell pork chops, so, you know.
Every time I go to KFC,
I think we just found ourselves another subject.
Yeah.
Yeah, get ready. You know what's going you know where this is.
Pardon me.
Yeah, but you know exactly where this is going to lead towards. Hey, everybody. We have a great show tonight. We've got Tim Robbins, the CEO of Waffle House. Yep. The first thing comes with announcements.
Oh, yeah.
And exciting. It's always exciting. Hey,
yeah, that's
everyone.
Right.
Welcome to another. I used to get teased like that when I first started, like in the chat room. People were like, oh, it's another exciting episode. I'm like, dude, I'm excited.
You got to be pumped up.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, and just that's why you got to say exciting because it gets you excited. Every time I say it, I'm like, I move my hand. I love this guy. All right. Honest Amish, you were talking about that. Tell us about that Honest Amish, which I love the name of that company.
Yeah, so Honest Amish, they were one of the first beard oil companies, probably the first, but it's definitely they've been around for a long, long time. And, they got their start with just soap, and then they got some wax. They were one of the first beard oil companies, well, the only one that I know of still, that makes a beard wax. So, yeah, so the owner just started from an Etsy page and making soap and wax in his garage, and then he, you know, developed the oil, and now it is the number one best-selling beard oil brand on Amazon. You can buy Honest Amish in Walmart now, and funny story about that. Most people go after Walmart to get their product in Walmart. Walmart actually came after Honest Amish. So that's the go to show you how amazing of a brand this stuff is. It is all natural. I'm not even joking. This is the best beard oil or balm or anything on the market. The soaps are super good. They're really cheap. I mean, it's all natural. Each bar of soap's like $5. And it lasts for a while. They've got beard and body soaps, and then they have just the regular old hand soaps that, you know, smell like patchouli or peppermint and stuff like cloves or whatever. But the stuff that you put in your beard, there's no additional smells put in anything, not in the balms, not in the oils, not in the soaps, because most perfumes or scents have some sort of alcohol content to it to, you know, hold the smell together. And that's not something you want to put in your beard. So Honest Amish doesn't put any additional smells in any of their balms or soaps, oils for your beard. Pretty much every other beard oil company, they're like, oh, this one smells like honeysuckle, and this one smells like cupcakes, and that's like their brand, is having 42 different smells. Well, Honest Amish has 3 cents for oils. They got a classic, a premium, and a pure, and it's just quality of oil that they use. There's no scent, and I love it. I think it's, you know, to the point. You know that there's no fluff to it. The packaging is. I mean, it's still good, but it's a brown box with Honest Amish on it. You know, it doesn't need additional fluff. It is what it is, and it's great stuff. But yeah, they're made in Greenville, Pennsylvania, and I'm absolutely, you know, I'm honored to be able to represent the brand.
Now, out of curiosity, for the patchouli scent, does that also come with a copy of Grateful Dead at Woodstock?
Absolutely, yeah. So you can buy it online. It's at the Grateful Dead at Woodstock, and it's $19.95, and you get one bar of soap and one album. So it's pretty good.
Oh, beautiful.
Pretty good deal. Yeah, honestamish.com, and promo code Talking Beards, you get 15% off that order.
There we go.
Oh, nice. See, now,
you
got to
look really hard for that Grateful Dead. You really got to dig through the website, but it's in there, probably.
Yeah. But there's no harm in looking. I mean, it's the thrill of the hunt anyways.
Yeah, dig through there. Yeah. It's probably maybe in there, in the website.
All righty.
Now okay. William might be interested in growing a beard.
He is. See, I can hear the whiskey growing now already. A patchouli, you say?
Yep. Slowly but surely. Very slowly.
So ain't nothing here on me.
So you said there was only 3 cents. Does that mean that there's no pumpkin spice in the fall?
Thank God.
No pumpkin spice in the fall. No. It's just those three oils, and then I think there's like 5 different balms and 7 soaps.
Nice. That's great that they've been in business for so long, and that's great also that you know they're using you as a marketing tool. That says a lot for you, and I was going
to
say you probably feel very honored for that.
Absolutely.
Definitely a huge congratulations on that achievement. And you haven't been doing that. I hate that alarm. It goes off at 9 o'clock every night. So sorry about that, guys. If you heard that cling, cling. That's actually really good. I mean, like you said, you haven't been doing this for 20 years, you know, a few years, and you're already, you know, you're getting a name for yourself out there, and I think that's great.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I love doing it, and, you know, if you're going to do something, freaking do it, you know what I mean? So I put my whole heart and soul into anything I'm doing, and definitely right now we're doing bearding, and so I'm putting my whole heart into it.
Excellent.
Yeah,
so
I don't want
to
go back into the
bigger
world.
Go home.
That's right. Go
I don't
want to
talk
home.
About
yep.
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to say. When I first started watching Whisker Wars, like within the first couple episodes, I'm like, man, these guys are taking this way too serious. And then when I started watching more and more, I'm like, this is not like an overnight thing. They've been doing this for a very long time. This is not like, hey, I'm going to wake up and do this. No, you practice it and the grooming. Oh, my gosh. You guys spend more time on your mustache and beards than a woman does on their hair.
Yeah, some people do. I mean, I know for sure I do, 100%.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is definitely hard work. Once, you know, you get into it, it's not just, oh, you know, I'm going to go ahead and stop all this now. You can't, really.
Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, if you're going to do it, it's a full-time commitment. I mean, you can't just decide, like, oh, today I'm not going to take care of my beard. Like, no, you've got to keep it up every single day, and that's part of it. So that's you got to figure out new ways to eat, and you know you got to figure out how to protect it when you're trying to cook, and I mean you always have to protect it.
Yeah, don't put extra syrup on that waffle unless you know how to eat it.
You got to be careful. Yeah, getting syrup in your beard is bad news. It's really bad. So you definitely have to develop your techniques on how to eat properly.
Yeah, I mean, God forbid, I can imagine the nightmare of trying to tackle barbecued ribs. I mean,
I haven't eaten barbecue ribs in about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
That's a huge commitment.
Yep, and it used to be one of my favorite foods. Like, I think, honestly, probably I've barbecue ribs like twice, but it's just straight up scraping meat off the bones.
Oh.
With a fork, and I'm not trying to eat them. Yeah. Only boneless wings.
Oh, my gosh. I love
wings. Wow.
What about, like, pasta? Can you do
pasta stuff? So, I can.
Yeah.
So, when I make my spaghetti and stuff at the house, I'll do the no-no, but I'll go ahead and break my noodles up. And, you know, I can't have, like, long strings of spaghetti. Like, they're already broke up, and you just got to be super careful. Napkins are your friend, and you got to have one on standby. But yeah, I eat everything with two hands, so I gotta, you know, I got to hold my mustache out of my mouth, and you have to hold it up out of the way. Sometimes, so I'll do. It's hard to describe, but sometimes if I'm eating something really messy, I'll hold my mustache back with one hand and hold it flat to my face, and then I'll try to use my palm of my hand to hold underneath my my beard or underneath my mouth. So I'll make like a hole there and I'll kind of shove it in. But that's not the general way I do it. Usually I'll just hold my mustache up out of my mouth because, you know, I've genuinely swallowed my mustache before I really understood this technique. Like I had to pull my mustache out of my throat.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Super crazy.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I mean, you know, that definitely must have been tough without a doubt.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, you got to relearn how to do everything, absolutely everything. Like, everything. I would look like a complete weirdo if I would shave and try to do everything that I do now, like try to eat and I don't know. I would just be – I don't know what I'd be doing.
It does actually sound a lot. You know, I kind of figured that it would be rough. And is going back to school, sorry. But when they were in Texas, when they had that, the Austin team, they took everybody into the barbecue restaurant, and Nick was walking by, and he was like, how are they able to eat that food? And you could see they got clips on their mustaches, and they're like Michael Connor, who's lifting up his mustache just to eat. But, yeah, I see what you're saying now. I didn't realize that it was that difficult.
It is. It's, I mean, you got this massive amount of hair around your mouth, and, you know, it gets tricky sometimes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Lesson to be learned, men out there. If you're going to grow a beard like Aaron, you cannot eat ribs.
Yeah. I'm sure there's ways, and I know some dudes that just say, you know, screw it, and they just go ahead and they just get messy, and they're like, well, I'll just shower afterwards, but I'm not that guy. I don't like getting messy, so I just try to stay as clean as possible.
Yeah,
I'm the
same way. When you start going to the messy side, that's what it's called. Hey, we can play a game that's called I Could Guess What You Had for Dinner Last Night.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, I just imagined kissing a guy and doing that. Oh. It's like, oh, I love you, but can you brush it off? Okay. Now, you're married. You talked about your wife. Was she in full support of it, or she, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. So she's a huge supporter. We do this bearding stuff together. She likes my beard, and she, you know, I've actually talked about, you know, a couple of years ago maybe shaving to take a different job, and she told me absolutely not, figure it out. And I figured it out, so I didn't shave and go to a different job. But yeah, she travels around with me. She's done just as many, if not more, competitions than I have. And, so she does Whiskerina categories. What they are, like, craft categories. So they generally have two at competitions. They'll have creative, which you can make a beard out of anything, bottle caps, popcorn, whatever you can imagine.
Oh, nice.
And then they have the realistic category. And you're the main objective is to make the most real-looking beard as possible. So that's what she does generally. She does the realistic category, and our guest bedroom is no more. It's completely a craft room. It's completely taken over, and the other half of the room is just trophy shelves from everything we've racked up traveling the country in the last, 6 years. But, yeah, she absolutely supports it, and she's a national champion and a British national champion, and she takes it extremely seriously as well. So she's all about helping out all the ladies and trying to make everybody the best they can possibly be. And along the way, she's racked up the title or two along the way.
That's awesome.
Well, can't go wrong with that. That's for sure.
You married the right girl.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I know I did. That's for sure.
That's really awesome. And speaking of beer competitions, Nationals are about to come up again, right?
Yeah, so Nationals are coming up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. It'll be September 11th weekend. It'll be the 10th is that Friday. There'll be four categories and just kind of a hangout pre-party deal. But Saturday's the main event. Doors will be at noon, and it'll be at Montage Mountain Resort. And there'll be 54 categories total. If the category doesn't get filled with at least three people, they'll be shifted into another category. So it may not ultimately be 54 at the end of the day, but that's where we're going to start. And yeah, so it's presented by Honest Amish this year, so they're going to be the main sponsor. Yeah,
that's cool.
I'll be there with a vending table, and I'll have a handful of my buddies with me, and we'll be selling oil and balm. So yeah, Beer Team USA puts on these national events every year, and we've been in we're in Scranton this year. We were in Chicago. 2020 did an online thing, which was put together by a Emmy award-winning editor. So, you know, it was edited together very well, and it was a very nice show. You can get that on Beer Team USA YouTube. You can check that out. It's about an hour and a half, I think. They edited it down. But we've been in Chicago. We've been in Nashville, New Orleans, New York. Been all over. They try to do a different city every year. Now, I think kind of what they're trying to do is maybe geared towards smaller cities. So maybe more of a takeover kind of atmosphere, like Scranton we're trying this year. It's not a big city. We went up there about a month ago, and people around knew about the beers were coming. Like the dude at the hotel was even like, yeah, I'm really excited to check out these lady beers and see what they're all about. I'm like, oh, well, you know, here's one of the premier lady beard people right here. It's my wife, and he talked to her for a little bit, and I think they're going to try to go to smaller cities from now on. I think that's kind of what they're doing, because when we went to go to Chicago didn't know we were there. New York didn't know we were there. Scranton's going to know we're freaking there. You know what I mean? The beards are going to take over the town.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be a cooler thing. You know, Scranton's a cool town. It's got, you know, the mountains. It's beautiful. It's got lots of cool things to do, but it's not a city. You know what I mean? So we're going to go take it over and make it our own.
It's like a small city is what it is. That's awesome. Yeah, do you guys still do the parade down the street where you hold your flags up and everything? Do you still do the parades to the competition?
No. So the competition, so the parade thing was more of a Phil Olson Beer Team USA deal, and Beer Team USA is no longer really ran by Phil Olson, but we still do the parade.
I was gonna ask about that.
He's no longer in the community either, but I think he's just kind of – he got in bad health and kind of stepped away. So Nashville, I know, that was in 2016. They did a parade, but that was Phil Olson's last nationals that he ran. He created this mess, really. I mean, competitive bearding was kind of sort of around, but I think he really made it bigger than it was.
Yeah.
And we did a parade when we were in Belgium in 2019, but that was for Worlds. That wasn't for Nationals. But we did a big parade, and we walked around with the, you know, each country has a little flag and stuff like that. It was a really, really cool deal. I did I videoed the whole thing and went around and interviewed a bunch of people. I don't know where that actually landed. It's probably on the Talking Beards YouTube page, I think. I think that's where it actually landed. But yeah, there's footage of us, me and MJ Johnson ended up interviewing a bunch of people in that parade for Worlds in 2019.
Well, I know after this show, I got a lot of liking and a lot of subscribing to do, so I'm going to do everything that you're talking about. I didn't know that you were out there that much. That's awesome, man.
Yep. But
yeah,
we're out the no-dos and the coffee.
Absolutely.
And the cool thing about it is that, you know, just like William and Tom and, you know, Nick and I, we like to write. I mean, you're doing what you love also, and I think that's great. Like you said,
I love it. It's a lot of cool.
Our guest.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, our guest Eddie last night, and he said the exact same thing you did. He's a independent filmmaker, his words was, just do it. And you said it too. You know, just do it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
Now, I think Nike stole that from me, actually. I think I said that first. I said, just do it. And then Nike stole it.
That's a great slogan. Nike, isn't it?
Yeah.
They don't already
freaking Nike,
own
I was stealing my stuff. I was going to sign that Michael Jordan guy, but then, you know, then they took him. It was, I don't know, freaking Nike.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just own the world.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
oh,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, at least compared to the two, you know, luckily, at least the bombs and the oil aren't running $150 a pair, so.
Right? I mean, I guess they could. You want? I could sell you some patchouli soap for $150 if you want.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I could not.
I'll autograph the bomb.
These are the championship special editions.
That's right. Special edition patchouli soap.
Yeah.
Oh,
this was actually
gosh.
Used during the course of the contest. Extra whiskers are visible around the corners, if you notice.
Use patchouli soap. Perfect.
Yeah.
I'm going to make some tonight. I think that'll be a hot seller.
I mean, it's worth a shot. See what happens.
Just do it.
I'll do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
You know, don't forget to autograph the bars, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll definitely autograph it. I'll autograph the soap and the box. You can just...
There you go.
Whichever one you want.
Carve your name. Carve your name into the soap. Man, it's a marketing idea. It's right there.
Yeah.
Yep. $1 million idea right there. Just born right here.
Exactly.
That's right. And it's copyrighted, so if anybody tries to steal it, everybody will know that you had it first.
That's right. Everybody will know. All about 150,000 people that are listening to this right now? Is that about what I was told, how many people listen every episode?
We get about 249,000. Hold on. We get over 249 a month. So that's
249,000 people listen every month. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm proud of the numbers. I really am. And you know, I have to say, you know, I'm very happy. If you wanted to do an episode on Blog Talk Radio, it's very simple. I'm actually really proud of what Blog Talk Radio is. They've opened up a lot of doors and they've helped me out a lot.
Yeah, that's good. And you're doing something that you love to do. So, you know, just do it. It goes along with that.
Just do it. That's what I did with my first show. And now I have a friend of mine on MySpace, J.L. Patello. He was hosting a show, and the woman backed out on him. She became a jerk to him. And so I said, hey, J.L., sponsor me. I'll do a show. Oh, my gosh, I was a mess at the first show.
Did you say MySpace?
Complete mess. And then somehow by good graces, you know who Jeff Conaway is, right, from Greece? Kaniki?
Boy, do I.
I had him on the show. He was my first big guest. I was like, hey, look, I just started out. I don't have much of an audience. I would love to have you on the show. And he wrote back and goes, let's do it. Just do it. We'll do it. I'm like, what? Dude, you want to talk about starstruck? Woo. I was completely starstruck.
Yeah, we had Rutledge Wood on Talking Beards, and I was pretty starstruck. I don't know if you know who that is, but he's a big car guy.
Oh, Top Gear.
Yeah, he was on Top Gear. Exactly, yeah. But, yeah,
I was
starstruck when we had Rutledge on there.
So I got to ask, the Rutledge that we see on Top Gear, is he the same way in person or completely different?
100% that. That Rutledge is Rutledge all the time.
Cool.
Yeah, he's super cool dude. Yeah, it's wild because, you know, just from doing the show, like, I can text Rutledge and, like, we'll have a texting conversation, and I still, like, this is super weird. Like, I shouldn't be able to text Rutledge Wood and him reply and know who I am. This makes no sense. But it happens.
Yeah, you totally talked about it.
Well, hey, that's awesome, you know?
Yeah, it's fun, dude. I don't know, just because I grew a beard. You know, this could happen to you guys if you grew beards too. You too could be friends with Rutledge Wood.
There you go. See?
We. Yeah.
Sounds like we. Hello, Tom.
I guess that's what we have to be like. Okay, so do we get to trade cars too? Maybe, possibly,
yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, Rutledge comes to my house and we trade cars all the time.
There you go. You can't go wrong there.
I think he's got like 3 or 4 more than me, though, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Well, hey, I mean, you know, when you hear the Maserati pull up, you know it's him.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I got to figure out which one of my friends with the Maserati it is, though. But then when, you know, see, his has like plaid seats and stuff, so I know that's his Maserati because, you know, all my buddies, they got Maseratis and Ferraris, and they're always showing up. But I'm always just in here writing books, you know, because that's what I do all the time. Writing books.
Exactly. I mean, because that's the writer's lifestyle. Everybody comes to us.
It is. I mean, you know, it's tough. It's a tough life, but, you know, we've got to do it. You know, just writing books and having all of our high-powered friends just showing up randomly.
Yep, I completely agree. You know, I always say that's why I always keep the coffee pot going and warm and handy just in case.
Hey, you never know who's going to show up.
Yep, bingo.
That's good advice. Just do it. You know, it's up there.
Just do it.
It's up there.
You know, it's almost like the time that, when, you know, one of the earlier episodes, Francie actually had David Lee Roth calling in.
Oh,
Van
my God.
What?
Yeah, but she didn't
Your
believe that it was him.
David Lee Roth?
Yes, it's a true story. Our good friend David Madison, which I need to say, you're going to love David Madison. He has accomplished so much. He knows so many people. But if you talk to him, you would not know that he's like you. He's very down to earth and everything. And he surprised us. Melanie Roble, who is a independent actress, had a very nice career. She was the guest on the show, and I seen David Madison was on the switchboard. I always know when he calls because it's straight ones all the way through, and I was like, "Hey, that's Dave." And he goes, "Hey, it was the night of the Grammys. The night David Lee Roth wasn't there, but it was that re-release of the." Well, that new release of the Van Halen album. They've been gone for years, and David Lee Roth was at David Madison's house, and they decided to call my show. And David Lee Roth was singing live on my show. He's like, "Oh, I'm not going to tell you who it is. I want you to just guess who it is." And he sang "The Devil Came Back." Is that the name of the song?
Brother with the Devil.
Yeah, Run with the Devil, and as soon as he said, "Run with the Devil," Jason Hignight was like, "Oh my gosh, that's David Lee Roth." And Melanie Robo was like, "What the?" And she never cusses on the show, and she's like, "What the fuck?" They were already off the phone. She's like, "What fuck?"
I know the simple life ain't so simple.
Yeah. And poor Francie's going, "No, it's not him. He's not there."
Yeah. Edward Banks Young even put in comments to David Madison, "Oh, you were not really with David Lee Roth." And David Madison gave Edward Banks Young a what for on Facebook. He's like, "Yes, I was." What sucks is we were no longer live, and David Lee Madison is, like, messaging me on Facebook. He's like, "Pick us up. We're trying to call him." I'm not live anymore. I can't pick you up. Because once you, like, right now we're not live, so if anybody tries to call in, they, you know, I won't get it on my switchboard. And I'm like, Dave, I just, not, we're not live anymore. We're in our after party. Please.
We're not even live anymore.
Huh?
No. Now it's time to just put your boots up and kick back, relax.
Yeah, we're in after.
I figured, I remember you said that we're going to do an after party thing, but I figured there would have been like a, like an end of the show.
No.
That British woman, she actually knocks me off guard all the time. It's like, I don't know if you guys can hear her when she says 90 seconds.
No, we can't hear that. I can hear it before, but not now.
Yeah, that's her cue of saying that we're not live anymore. It's like 90 seconds. And then she'll say 30 seconds. And then she'll say 15 seconds. And then she'll say, you are now archived. Well, you're no longer live, but we're still recording. So people that, you know, that didn't get to hear all of this tomorrow morning when they wake up, if they want to hear the show, they're going to hear all of this.
Well, we're not live, but
we're still recording.
I hope it was a successful episode for y'all.
Well, thank you.
I definitely believe that this is going to be a very successful episode, and I would love, like we were talking about, oh my gosh, I just forgot, I'm so terrible with names. The Austin Facial Club. I would love to do a show with all you guys. And William.
Hey, you guys. Hey, you guys. You guys.
Yes,
Francie, everybody. Yeah. Since we're about to go pretty soon, very soon, because of time and everything like that, I just wanted to take maybe a minute and a half to 2 minutes to just let you know about my facial hair experience, because this is facial hair. You know, the whole goatee thing with me that I've had for like 30 plus years. No, actually, it's been more than that too. It's been like 35 years. Well, I'm 55, so cut it in half. And add 10 years. Anyway, I was dating this one chick, Krista, and I had a beard for, I was growing a beard for about 2 weeks, and she said, you know what, I have this great idea for you. And she led me into the bathroom, sat me down in front of the mirror, and shaved me, cut my hair, shaved me, and shaved my beard into a goatee. And I thought, you know what, I like that, and it kind of stuck. And in a nutshell, that's that's the secret of the Nicholas Grabowski goatee. I've kept it ever since.
Like,
I liked it so much.
Well,
yeah, it was
Nick,
because of the woman that I got facial hair. Well, I mean, actually, when it all boils down to it, it's because of a woman that we all exist. Well, it takes two, but you know, we come out of them. But they don't give us facial hair. But I guess God, whatever, it happens. And so you either shave it, you make choices with your facial hair. You either shave it or you don't, or you shave parts of it or you don't, or you can, like, make a career out of it, apparently, and which is great.
Or you dye it.
Because that kind of thing has been going on for thousands of years, too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
At least, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's a manly man thing to do. Let's see how long and how graceful we can grow our beards. But it's also a fashion statement. And also because Francie forces me to watch the show. And that really forces me. I'm in there, I'm eating and watching it and everything. So I know all the stuff I've seen about, like, Jack Passion and all the characters, and you too. And, you know, all the whole thing. And I keep going, wow, this is really weird, especially the German guys with their funky stuff. It's like, really, all the creativity is really cool. I really like that.
Yeah, it really is. All the creativity, that's for sure. A lot of these dudes in this community are very artsy, and they really put a lot of artsy into their freestyles and stuff. I know that's what my wife does. She's super artsy and crafty, and she displays it very well on a weekly basis when she creates beards and wears them on her face.
That's good.
Yeah. It also sounds like the one part of the secrets to win an award is obviously not just the beard, but how you present yourself on stage and, like, win the fandom. 100%. By, like, the pizzazz. Yeah.
Yeah. Showmanship.
Yeah, showmanship.
Exactly.
That's what it's called. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Since we're talking facial hair and everything. That was cute, Nick. I sounds like there's a... Hold on. Oh, okay. I think I got it now. Okay, worst beard. What is your worst facial hair, Aaron? What do you hate the worst?
Facial hairstyle that I hate the worst. Man, it's hard because there's so many. I would say my bottom three right now are a musketeer because it's like a baby goatee that just couldn't grow up to be a real goatee. And then you have chops. That chops is absolutely probably the worst decision. Like, I think a lot of musketeer people, it's not really a decision. It's just, you know, poor, you know, genes maybe. But chops is a decision. People actually shave their chin on purpose. Like, what kind of person does that? Like, that's absolutely the worst facial hair decision you can possibly do on your own. But then, like, coming in an easy third place for, you know, stupidest facial hair is Whaler. Like, why would you, if you're going to have a beard, you might as well have a mustache too. Like, how stupid is that to shave your mustache off? So that's
yeah,
my bottom three.
I mentioned that at the beginning of the show. I said, oh, William, Tom, you don't know what a Whaler is? I'm a female. I know what a Whaler is, and I know that Aaron was not like the Whaler.
Yeah, it's like the Abraham Lincoln beard. We actually have a shirt on topicbeards.com.
Okay.
We have a few little shirts on there that no one buys. One of them
on the chin.
On the front, on the back says no one like the Whaler. And
yeah,
and
I want to get that
shirt. We sold three.
I'm gonna buy
good.
That shirt. I got to pay some bills first, but I'm going to buy that shirt because I do like that shirt. Will you sign it when I buy it?
It does not come from us at all. The shirts that come from the website or from Teespring, I have a bunch of shirts that Talking Beard shirts that I take to competitions, but they're just really soft quality Talking Beard shirts, and we don't have the Whaler one. But maybe I can make the Whaler one, and then I can take it to competitions. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, okay,
we'll
so
see.
Then
we'll
I'll buy it, and then I'll mail it to you, and then you can sign it and mail it back, and I'll pay the postage.
Perfect. I'll do that
okay.
All day long.
I gotta pay some bills first, but yeah, I'm definitely, because you showed that on your last podcast. I was like, okay, I do like that shirt, and I do like that it's in the back, because I honestly, I don't like, for you were talking about your friend on the show that he doesn't like printed shirts. I don't either. I feel like, you know, people are...
Who puts prints on the front? That makes no sense. Put them on the back.
Yeah, especially for women. It's like, are you reading my t-shirt or are you staring at my boobs? Yeah, that's, I guess women really like.
We call that a two-for-one special. That's what that is.
But a bing.
Yeah, you guys can make it. No, I wasn't staring at your boobs. I was reading your t-shirt. Oh, yeah. Just like you look at Playboy
shirt.
And you read you read Playboy for it. You get Playboy for
it
the article.
It has fantastic articles in it. Everyone knows that. You get Playboy for the articles. Everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure. Yeah.
You know what women say to that when you men say that, right? Okay.
They should agree. Oh. True.
Oh, shit.
Bang. Let's put facts here, ma'am.
But there is one thing that's very ironic about them from the writing perspective. If you could get yourself into Playboy as a writer, it's $5,000 an article. But their stipulations, you know, but their stipulations are almost 40 pages thick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's like, we do not accept the following, and then it just goes straight down from there.
You know, they're no longer publishing the magazine. In fact, Dolly Parton, I think she just had, what, her 80th or 85th birthday, and she wanted to redo the copy that the cover of her Playboy. When she was on Playboy, she wanted to redo that for her husband and do, maybe get Playboy, but she couldn't do it because they're not being published into a magazine anymore. So they're probably all online now.
Yeah.
Everything's online now.
Exactly. It is all online. Thanks, Apple. I'm sure everybody here will probably agree, and I know Nick definitely agrees. I like holding a book. If I'm going to read a book, I want to hold it. I want to turn the pages. You don't want to scroll up to the next screen. You know, you got to hold it.
Every time I read a book, I'm holding it.
Yeah, it makes you I don't understand how people can say, oh, no, I'll just download it. No, don't download it. Hold
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same.
You tend to appreciate it more, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there, you know, there's nothing like the smell of a new book.
That new book smell.
That new book smell.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like it.
Exactly.
Okay, we are about to be cut off. Okay, Aaron, one more time. I want you to, I don't want us to, like, be cut off from the after party in mid-sentence. Aaron, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Aaron D. Johnston. You can find me on TikTok at Talking Beard. You can go to talkingbeard.com. You can find all Talking Beards, everything at TalkingBeards.com. You can go to HonestAmish.com. You use promo code TalkingBeards and get 15% off your order. But, yeah, that's it. You can, most importantly, Aaron D. Johnston Instagram. Go there, and I post all my beard travels on there and, you know, try to keep everybody updated on what I'm doing. So go check it out. Check out Talking Beards. Check out Honest Amish and all the good stuff.
Excellent. Give everybody the correct spelling so they won't type in Johnston, because it's actually Johnston.
Yes, it's Aaron, so A-A-R-O-N, D-J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N.
Don't forget the
there
T.
There we go.
There you go.
Yeah,
yeah,
very
don't forget the T. It's not Johnson, it is Johnston. See, you're like the first name I got totally correct within the last 3 weeks. So, yeah, it's definitely been a great pleasure. I knew
you
were going to be a
Google.
Pizza.
So,
we can Google you?
When you Google.
Yeah,
big time.
Definitely.
You know you can be Googled, you know you've made it.
I love the
exactly.
Google.
Exactly. But definitely, Aaron, thanks so much for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me. I had a really good time. I will I'll share the heck out of this episode. I assume it'll be up tomorrow, and I'll grab it.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be totally archived an hour right. Well, actually, it might be archived as soon as we hit that click, the end episode. So,
it'll be your first episode to ever hit. This will be your first 1 million hit episode. I feel it.
I feel it too.
I've got the gut feeling it will, yeah.
Yeah.
This is definitely
Francie.
Good.
Francie.
Yes, dear.
Let's, because you're getting so much bigger, and this is like your 12th year now?
12 years.
Doing Francie Friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, that's how we got together was I was a guest on your show. In 2009, those that don't know. It's weird how things work. And I flew down to South Carolina. I'm in California. We're in California now. But I flew down to South Carolina and I brought her back here. But let's address our friends on SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, and the other stuff that people have been listening
Apple.
To.
Apple wonderful. It seems like we're getting a lot of listeners on SoundCloud and Apple and iTunes. And yes.
Well, in that case, then, hello out there from Radioland. Thank you so much for listening to Francie and Friends.
Hello, world.
Stephen gets listeners from Australia and South Africa.
Russia is our number two. Russia's our number two.
That's because they're
from
listening
Russia
in. They think that Francine Friends is the thing to listen to in America to find out American secrets.
It goes great with the board.
From Russia with love, huh?
They're going to say, Eddie T. Johnston? Oh, yeah. Okay, I tried to come up with something. I should have said, Eddie T. Johnston, awesome.
That's right. You get an A for effort.
You did.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm not good. I'm not good on the fly, but you were good on the fly, Aaron. You were good on the fly.
I appreciate it. I try.
You were
good. Nobody harmed
Jeff Goldblum was good on the fly too.
Yeah.
Never mind. That was a stupid joke.
Eric Stoltz, not as much.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I'm out of here. This episode was awesome sauce, and I appreciate
Thank you. And
I'm
totally thinking about being back on, and maybe you can make these men grow some facial hair. And let's get the
I can tell.
Let's get the Austin Beer Club on here with you, and
kick back and have
I do
a nice
grow facial hair. Just shave it off.
Oh, and Aaron, thank you very, very much for that compliment earlier in the show about the goatee thing.
Yeah,
made me
totally.
Glad I have one.
Yeah, well, you should be glad. You should wear that goatee proud.
Yes, it's like the Tony Stark goatee.
There you go.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
When I first met him, it was actually dark. There's a lot of gray in it now. Nick, are you okay?
Well, yeah. As you told,
we're not getting any younger.
Yeah, when I first met him, he had one string of one little patch of gray hair. Yeah, now I think I put a lot of stress on him. I laugh about that. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's so gray now. Did I do that? No, this has been great. I knew it would be great. I knew when I got off the phone with you, I was like, we're going to have fun. So, yeah, my predictions were right. You definitely lived up to everything that I knew the show would be, and I thank you because I had a great time.
Ma'am. I had a good time.
Oh, good.
Well, we're definitely
glad
that you did.
That's what we like to hear. So, very happy. Okay, let's end it with a little bit of Willie Nelson. Did you like our Willie Nelson song?
Oh yeah, that was my jam. I was sad when it was over.
We're gonna play it again, so you can listen to it again.
All right.
Yeah, I got lucky when I started the
Francie,
show. They said all right, here we go. A little bit of Hesitation Blues.
Excellent. Good night, everybody.
Up this morning looking for my shoes, look behind the trunk, found the Hesitation Blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Rockin' chair. there. Blues overtake me, rock away from here. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?